I believe that I've got a word that will help you today. How many know it's important to go to a church where the pastor's not just preaching a good message, but that pastor is hearing from God? Can you say amen? And I don't mean to say like I get it perfect every time, because God knows I don't. But here's what I'm saying. There's got to be a sensitivity, not just to preach a good sermon, but to hear what God is speaking to us. And I believe that God has got a message for you today. Amen? So let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tell you a story. And then when we get done with the story, I want to give some application to where I believe that there'll be some things that God will use in this story that God will speak to us. And then we'll pray, and then we'll go out and, you know, eat a hot dog or something, right? Right? Okay. God is going to speak to us, but first we're going to get our hearts fed. Amen? So I want to talk to you today, and I want to tell you this story about Joseph. And for some of you, you know this story about Joseph. For others, you might not know this story about Joseph. But I'm going to tell this story first, and then we're going to see what the application is to our lives. Joseph was the youngest. He had 11 brothers in front of him. And like many times, the parents will kind of have a tendency to like the youngest the best. You know what? They just get babied more. Well, the Bible said in this case that the dad, anyway, showed favor to the youngest. And he and the brothers saw it, and one of the things that they saw is Joseph's dad gave Joseph a coat of many colors. It was a beautiful coat. It was a detailed coat. It was a, Nordstrom's coat. How many know there is a difference between Nordstrom's and Kmart? Okay. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? And it was really, really nice. Well, his other brothers didn't get it, but he got it, and they all saw it. One day, his brothers were out, and they were far away, and the dad was concerned with the brothers, so he sent Joseph. He said, go find your brothers. Well, Joseph looked for them. They weren't where he thought they were. He finally found them, and when he found his brothers, he came walking, and as he's walking, his brothers see him far away. And his brothers start to get together, and they come up with an idea. And their idea they had was, let's kill him. Let's kill him. We're going to take care of our situation. Let's kill him. And so they conspired together to kill him. And then one of the brothers decided, no, let's not get our hands all dirty. Let's dig a hole, and let's put him in that hole. So they did that, and as they did that, there was a caravan that was going to Egypt, and they saw this caravan, and then another brother said, this is dumb. Why would we leave him here? We can pull him out. We can sell him as a slave, and if he's sold as a slave, then we're going to make some money. So sure enough, they pull him out. They sell him as a slave. He goes into Egypt, and he becomes a slave to Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a wealthy man who was in charge of a lot. He was an official in Egypt. And Potiphar recognized that Joseph was special. Somebody say Joseph was special. And so he recognizes Joseph as special. He recognizes that he's gifted and talented, and that there's favor from God on his life. So he puts him in charge of his whole house. When he puts him in charge of his whole house, guess what? He starts to be blessed. Potiphar starts to be blessed. The grass grew quicker. The wheat grew taller. You know what? His cows gave more milk. He just was better financially blessed when he put Joseph in charge. Potiphar's wife was checking Joseph out because Joseph was fine. That's what the Bible said. Joseph was fine in the summertime. Amen. So I know that doesn't rhyme, but I made it rhyme. Amen. But Joseph, and so Joseph's, Potiphar's wife's checking him out, and is wanting to, you know what, sleep with him. You know what I mean? And so Joseph is like, that ain't happening. And so Joseph kept on saying, no. Well, one day, everyone's outside except Joseph. And Potiphar's wife comes by and thinks, now's my time. She goes, boom, to jump his bones. And he's like, well, I ain't having this. And he starts to run. Well, when he runs, she grabs his coat. And she's annoyed that this guy won't sleep with her. And so when her husband comes home, she accuses Potiphar of rape. She accuses Joseph of raping her. And the husband believes her, and Joseph goes from being a slave to being a prisoner. And he's put in this prison. Well, the guy in charge of the prison recognizes the same thing that Potiphar recognized, that there's something special about Joseph. And so he says, Joseph, I know you are a prisoner, but I'm going to make you in charge of the prison. And so sure enough, Joseph is in prison, but at least he's in charge. A little later, there's two new roommates that Joseph has, and it's the baker and the butler of Pharaoh of Egypt. And I don't know what happened. The baker, ruined the cake, burnt the cake, whatever. You know what? The butler ran over, Potiphar's cat. I don't know. But whatever they did, it was bad enough that the Pharaoh said, you're going to jail. And they're hanging out in jail. Both of them have a dream one night, and they go to Joseph and say, hey, Joseph, can you tell us what this meant? And he says to the butler, hey, it's good news. In three days, you're going to be out of here, and you're going to be restored to your position in the palace. And the baker's thinking, yes. You know what? Tells him his dream. He says, well, your dream is kind of the same, but kind of not. In 3 days, something's going to happen to you, but you're going to be killed and you're going to be dead. In 3 days, the baker was dead and the butler was restored. But before the butler left the prison, Joseph said, hey, don't forget me. I'm not here because I did something wrong. I'm here from an injustice. If you have an opportunity to talk to the Pharaoh, talk to him, because that would be awesome. And so he gets out of prison and he completely forgets about Joseph until the Pharaoh has a dream himself. And he's trying to figure out what the dream is. Nobody knows. And the butler says, hey, there's a guy in prison. And he told us our dreams, and exactly what he said came true, just like he said. He knows how to tell dreams. So the Pharaoh calls him out of the prison, gives him a shave, gives him clean clothes, gives him new clothes. He comes in front of the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh tells him his dream. And Joseph says, I know what that means. Here's what it means. For seven years, Egypt is going to have blessing. Your land is going to be fruitful, very, very fruitful. But after those 7 years of fruitfulness, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And what you need to do, Pharaoh, is in those 7 years of plenty, you need to make sure you're taking some out every year. Because if you do that, when the famine comes, you'll be able to sustain yourself and you'll be blessed. And so the Pharaoh thinks, man, who should I get to orchestrate this program of saving funds, saving food? and he says to Pharaoh, he says to Joseph, he said, you know what? I'm going to put you in charge. And he puts him in charge. And Pharaoh and Joseph, in a small period of time, goes from being a slave to being in jail to being out of jail in the palace. Joseph is so honored in the palace that he is given a chariot just like the Pharaoh has. And everything that Joseph says to do, those people do. He says how high, he says jump, and they say how high. He is given complete honor and complete control. The only one over him is Pharaoh. Let's go back to his brothers. Where are his brothers? Well, his brothers are now in deep into the famine. And they have plenty of money because they made a lot of money when it was good times, but they have no food. So they go to Egypt, and guess who they get to talk to? Because Joseph is the one in charge of the food program. And they talk to Joseph. But they don't recognize that's their brother that they killed or they enslaved. They don't recognize that's him. And Joseph doesn't tell them who he is at first. He brings in an interpreter. Joseph is Hebrew, but he is going to speak to his brothers through an interpreter. They have no idea what's going on. And so what he does is he says, you guys are spies, aren't you? I know you, you're spies. And they say, no, we're not spies. We're not spies. We're of a family. We have a dad. We had 12 brothers. You know what? And one of them died. And now we have one other brother, but he's at home. And he's at home because the one who died, our father loves so much. He was the youngest and he loved him so much. And now he loves the second youngest. And he won't let him out of his sight because he's so scared that he's going to lose him too. So he's at home. And Joseph recognizes these are his brothers. But he doesn't tell him at first. And he says, oh, fine, I'm keeping one of your brothers. You go home and you bring back all of the brothers because I don't believe you're telling me the truth. They go back home. They take with them the food that they bought. And you know what? They go back home to talk to Joseph's dad. Joseph's dad says, I don't care. I lost one son. I'm not going to lose another. We're not going back. They're like, hey, what about this other brother that's in jail? And the dad said, tough. I'm not going to lose Benjamin. I'm not going to lose Benjamin. They eat up all the food. When they eat up all the food, one of the brothers says, look, Dad, we're starving. Let's go back. I promise. I promise to you, if I don't bring Benjamin back to you, you can have my two sons. Upon that promise, he lets Benjamin go. Very reluctantly, he lets Benjamin go. They come back, and Joseph sees his brothers, and he reveals himself as Joseph. They're totally freaked out because they think they're going to get killed. Joseph says, no, 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 I'm not going to kill you. Come near me. Come close to me. And then he says this. He says, let me tell you what. You're not going to live in that silly little shed that you used to live in. You're going to come and you're going to live with me. And you're not going to farm. You're not going to be a herdsman of that lousy land that you herd in. Rancho Cucamonga. No, you're coming. If you're from Rancho Cucamonga, no. Didn't mean to slam you. But what I'm saying is, you're going to come and I'm going to give you land in Bel Air. Now, is that a good story? Okay. What does God want us to learn from that story today? Okay. And I've got three things. I'm going to go over those three things very quickly. Okay. And then I'm going to dismiss you. Number one, Joseph is blessed. Let's say that together. Joseph is blessed. Let's say it again, but when we say is, emphasize the is. Joseph is blessed. Let's try it again together. Joseph is blessed. See, why is that important? Because I want you to notice that Joseph is blessed no matter where he goes. Now, I'm not talking about, listen to me very carefully. I'm not talking about walking in disobedience. If you walk in disobedience to what God has told you to do, the parameters that he told you that you could go, if you walk out of that, I don't care, you're not going to be blessed. Because you cannot be disobedient and walk in the blessings of God. You just can't do that. So we're not talking about that. But you know what God tells Israel? God tells Israel, he tells them their parameters. He says, listen, he gives them these parameters. It's just east of this and west of that. And he gives them their parameters. And then he says this, and every place that you set your foot is going to be blessed in those parameters. God is saying the same thing to you today. That the main thing that you need to focus on is you being obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, understand that you will walk just like Joseph did in the blessings of God. See, we get our eyes such on the circumstances. We allow circumstances to tell us if we're blessed or not. Amen. We allow circumstances to tell us whether. Listen, was Joseph blessed when he was a slave? Say, Joseph was blessed. Was Joseph blessed when he was in prison? Was Joseph blessed when he was in the palace? See, we need to get some good theology in our heads that we understand. The Bible says of Israel, says to those who are obedient to God, he says, you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed coming in and you'll be blessed going out. See, you're blessed not because the situation that you're in. You're blessed because of the God that you have a relationship with. Do you understand that? And we've got to understand, we've got to walk in this cockiness and this, the Bible says, don't give up your confidence. Listen, I'm blessed. And you can call me whatever you want, but I'm telling you what, I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. And it might be raining, but I'm going to have a good day. Amen. And it might be, you know what, but it's going to be so hot. It's going to be so hot. It's going to be so hot. Here, do me a favor. Don't tell me how hot it's going to be this week. Just don't tell me. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be hot in the blessed day. I'm going to be hot in the hot day. I may be blessed in the hot day. That's what I wanted to say. Do you understand that? We allow circumstances to tell us. And notice, this is coming right out of the word. Joseph is blessed in every situation he is in. Maybe you're not in a perfect situation right now. But call yourself blessed. Understand, you're blessed in the situation that you're in right now. Amen. See, I'm saying, you can be blessed in the prison. Amen. Because the blessing ain't about where you are. The blessing is about who you know. Watch. So I'm living in Newport Beach. And you know what? Certainly I'm not, you know what? I have a lot of growth to do. Somebody say amen. But my heart is right and I'm serving God. You know what? And I'm making some good choices. Somebody comes through my line, I'm working at Lucky's, you know what? The low price leader, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. And somebody comes in my line and says, you know what? I just got a place, it's across the street. She's so excited. And she says, man, it's a great place, so cute. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, man. And I said this, I said, hey, maybe that owner has another place. And she says, well, he doesn't have, I got a one bedroom, one bath, but he's got a bachelor place behind that place. And matter of fact, he's working on it right now. What did you do? I walked across the street when I got off work and I met the owner. Here's what I said. I said, I'm going to Life Bible College. I don't drink. I don't smoke. And I guarantee you, this place will look as good 5 years from now as the first day I move in. I'm hardly ever here, to be honest with you. but I won't trash your place. He said, why do you say that? Because I live in Newport Beach. I know what's happening. He's fixing his place up because somebody came in and they just trashed it. And I want him to know, I pay on time and I'm not going to mess up your place. And he says, okay, well, he says, how about this? How about I give it to you for $250? $250 a month. And I said, how about you give it to me for $200? Somebody said, why didn't you jump at the $250? You know why I didn't jump at the $250? Because I'm blessed. Can you say amen? How many know it takes a some degree of cockiness to ask somebody who's giving you $250 to ask for $200? How many would raise their hand and recognize that takes some? Okay. Why do you do that? Here's why. Because I'm blessed. Because I'm not blessed in where I'm at. I'm blessed in who I know. Because, listen, go to the website and listen to the series that we did on favor. One of the best series we ever did. Favor, you know what? God goes before you. There's favor on your life. You say, oh, things aren't fair. You're right, things aren't fair. They are slanted in our favor because we have a covenant with God. And it's time for the body of Christ to recognize the favor that they have. You know, the Bible says that God will make your enemies lie down before you. You know the Bible says that? God is looking. Joseph understands he's blessed no matter where he goes. The Bible says you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the fields. You'll be blessed coming in and you'll be blessed going out. And he understands that. So God calls me. Remember I said you need to be obedient to God? God calls me out of Newport Beach to work in that beautiful city of Baldwin Park. Amen. I went from living in Newport Beach back to living with my parents in that beautiful city called La Puente. Amen? You say, why would you do that? Here's why. Because if I'm obedient, if I'm willing and obedient, I'm going to eat the fat of the land. Because the blessing is in a place. The blessing is being obedient to what God asks you to do. And if you are, I'm telling you what, you can be blessed in the middle of a jail. Does this make sense? So before I move out, I tell my girlfriend, hey, I got a good deal. You know what? She moves in the place in Newport Beach. I move out to my mom's house. You know what? And then whatever. And then I did one of the smartest things I've ever done in my whole entire life. I married Tamara. Amen. Like this, say, Pastor's a very smart guy. I say, Pastor's a very smart guy. And when I married her, she was like, oh, okay, so where are we going? You know, where are we going to look for an apartment? Where are we going to look for an apartment? You know what I mean? She didn't do that little thing, but I did. But anyway, she said, where are we going to look for an apartment? And I was like, honey, we're not looking for an apartment. Why are we looking for? We got to look. Well, where are we going to live? I'm like, what do you think we're going to live? I got one day a week. We're going to live in Newport Beach that day. Amen. And then we're going to, you know, you're going to move into my mom's house. Amen. So I said, Pastor, that's not so smart. What are you thinking? I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm like Joseph. That God is going to bless me. So what are you doing? I'm waiting for the blessing of God. I'm recognizing that it wasn't luck that that person came in and told me about the place across the street. It's the favor of God. And the favor of God is following me. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, this is an important lesson because you've got to learn it. Amen. God's not a respecter of persons. Do you have a covenant with God? God will give you favor. And so what happened? Sure enough, how many know God has a good sense of humor? I don't know, it was 3 or 4 weeks. Someone goes up to, not me, goes up to Tamara. You know what? She's at the church, and someone goes up to Tamara and says, hey, Tamara, I know someone. He owns, very rich man. He owns a lot of apartment complexes, and he's looking for a couple, a Christian, young Christian couple to take care of some of his apartments. Do you think you guys might be interested? And Tamara said, I don't know, I'll talk to my husband, maybe. And so sure enough, and what did I think? I thought, oh, praise God, the blessings of God. Amen. Follow me, goodness and mercy. Follow me all the days of my life. What is that? Goodness, just following me, running me down. Amen. And so we have this appointment with this manager or with this owner. Gracious, gracious man. And it was a very interesting conversation. Because it's like, okay, do you know how to fix a leaky faucet? I'm like, no. Do you know how to do like basic electrical? I'm like, no. Well, do you? And it went up like five things. And here was a great interview. No. No. But what I did say is I said, but here's what we think. We think we're hard workers and we'll work real hard for you. And we would appreciate the opportunity to be your manager. We think you'd be pleased with us. I said, we had a friend and he knows how to do all that. And you know what? And he'll train us. He said, let me think about it. And the next day or 2 days later, he called us and said, I want you to be an apartment manager. Now, let me tell you what. Here's what we learned when we sat down with him. How much was rent? How much did we have to pay rent? 2-bedroom, 1-bath in San Gabriel with a pool, nice area. Right, nice, really nice area. Right across the street from the San Gabriel Mission. Beautiful area. And guess how much we paid rent? Guess how much? $200? $250? Nothing. Nothing. And he said, because there's so many units, you don't have to pay anything. Oh, one more thing. And I'll pay you $500 every 30 days. I'll write you a check for being my manager. How many know that was better than $200 a month? See, what am I telling you? And no, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We had to work for him. It was a job. And we did work. But let me tell you, it was a blessing instead of writing a check for rent for me cashing, putting a deposit in every 30 days. How many know that was better? What's my point? And I can tell you story after story after story. Why? And that just happens because you're a pastor. I want a pastor back then. It doesn't have to do with I'm a pastor. You know what it has to do with? I understand Joseph was blessed. Can I tell you what? Listen to me, someone. Did you hear the message last week? Unbelief is equal to an evil heart. I just don't see. Some of you don't understand how blessed you are. And maybe you've been grown up with a kind of half glass empty kind of mentality. It's always like this. It's always like this. It's always like this. Hey, understand, when you got born again, you know, people say this all the time. Matter of fact, it just makes me mad. Stop making an association with your great grandparents. Or your grandparents, or your crazy mom, or your crazy dad, amen. I just have an anger problem. You know, my mom was always like this. My dad always spazzed out. My grandpa, you know what? He always went like this. You know what? And I'm noticing. I'm starting to walk like that now. You know what I mean? Stop it, amen. Stop making the association. Listen, make the association with Abraham. He's your father, amen. Abraham's your father. Let me tell you about your heritage. Your heritage is the heritage of the chosen people. And they came out of bondage, and there was no sickness and no disease on every single one of them. Can you say amen? Amen. See, start associating this with, are you born again?
Yes.
You know what born again means? This is deep. There, I always say, you know what? The good preachers, you know what, are the simplest preachers. This is deep. You know what born again means? It means you were born again. I told you it was deep. See, you weren't born into all your junk. You're now born into the family of God. Amen. That's what you have to associate with. Is somebody learning something? Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Say this. Say, I'm blessed when I'm at McDonald's, and I'm really blessed when I'm in and out. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. Number one, understand that you are blessed. Number two. Many times in life, God's biggest blessings are just behind the curtain, around the corner, just under the surface. Not yet seen, but right before you. Pastor, what's your point? Think of Joseph's dad for a minute. Let's go back to Joseph's story. Joseph's dad doesn't have Joseph. He doesn't have one of the brothers. And he is too afraid to lose Benjamin. When is that going on? Right before his whole family is going to be restored to him. He's not going to lose Benjamin. He's going to get the brother who's in jail. He's going to get that brother out. And he's going to see his son that he thinks is dead. He hasn't seen that son for 13 years. He's going to be restored to his son. He said, Pastor, what's your point? What's your point is, I want you to notice Joseph's dad is crying in his Cheerios when he should be running around the room saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Are you catching this? And I'm wondering how many people in this room are crying in your Cheerios when you should be running around the room singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because God goes before you, the Bible says, and makes the crooked path straight. See, God is doing something. God is doing a restoration in your life. Why does Paul glory in his infirmities? That's a great question, is it not? Why would you be happy when you're jacked up? Here's why Paul says. He says this, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He recognizes that his best blessings are right under the surface. They're right behind the curtain. They're right around the corner. And can I remind you what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that hope does not disappoint. Somebody say it doesn't disappoint. I'm telling you what, we had a roof, okay? And here, I'll give you some advice. Don't just look in the yellow pages. Don't just get online. Go to your neighbor who's having a roof done. And after the roof is done, then go to that neighbor and talk to the neighbor and say, hey, were these roofers cool? Did they do a good job? I heard that advice, heard it on the radio. And we needed a new roof. So what did I do? I was driving in the neighborhood, coming home, and I saw, oh my goodness, look, they're doing a roof. I looked at the roof and it was beautiful. I mean, really nice. So I thought, I waited till they were done. And when they were done, I saw the neighbor in the yard. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk to them. And I talked to the neighbor and I said, hey, did they do a good job on your roof? Oh, they came on time. They cleaned up. They did it on the budget that they said. These guys are great. Oh. So what did I do? I said, can I have their number? They gave me a number, called the guys. The guys come out. They give me a price. I'm like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know what? Go ahead, do it. They come. They spend 2 days ripping off a little over half of my roof. And then they're supposed to show up on Wednesday. And Wednesday at 8 o'clock, they're not there. And at 9 o'clock, they're not there. And 10 o'clock, they're not there. And 11 o'clock, they're not there. And they're not there Thursday, and they don't show up Friday, and I can't get a hold of them. How much did you pay them? Nothing. Amen. I'm a smart guy. Amen. had paid them nothing up to that point. They had done a lot of work. What'd you do? I was like, man, how many know if you have a roof and the roof is taken up, you're jacked up, especially if it's going to start raining. And I'm not saying there was rain in the forecast. I just recognized, what do I do? Tamara had talked to our neighbor. Our neighbor knew a good friend that used to be a roofer. Then we found a company in Los Angeles because we didn't even have the roof. He was going to supply that. We had the material that we wanted. He was going to provide that material. We found a company in Los Angeles. They had the same material. We went down, picked up the material. Boom, boom, boom. This guy comes, does a beautiful job. And by the time we're done, guess what? Guess what? I have a nice roof on, and it's $5,000 cheaper than the original price. Somebody say $5,000 cheaper. Pastor, what's your point? My point is, my blessing is just around the corner. My point is, my blessing is around the curtain. My point is, the blessing is underneath the surface. My point is that I was on the roof, tearing off the roof myself, thinking, what in the world am I going to do? How many know, 20 days later, I wasn't thinking that. 20 days later, I'm walking around Tamara going, man, your husband is a genius. How many know I wasn't a genius? What am I saying to you? Here's what I'm saying. Listen, goodness and mercy can follow you all the days of your life. Amen. David said, why am I so downcast, O my soul? We get so convinced based on stuff that we see that we're jacked up. And what I'm telling you is God is going before you and he's making the crooked path straight. He's doing stuff that is going to turn out to be in your favor. I like what the Old Testament, how the Old Testament says it. It says it this way. It says, the just shall live by their faith. You're supposed to live by your faith. That's how you're supposed to live, guys. You're not supposed to live based on circumstances. You're supposed to say, I see the circumstances, but I don't care about the circumstances because I serve a God and his hand is not short. He delivers Israel with a mighty hand. And I'm telling you, he'll do the same to you. Have you learned something today? And last but not least, David is blessed. How many know Joseph is blessed? Yes, he was in slavery. Yes, he was in the prison. But how many know he got promoted? And how many know he's got a good promotion? Amen. He's in the palace. He's eating the finest food in the nicest places. In Egypt was at that point the most powerful nation ever. And he's right under the Pharaoh. He is completely blessed. And why is he blessed? Here's why he's blessed. To be a blessing to his brothers who sold him into slavery. He's blessed to be a blessing to the brothers that were going to kill him. He's blessed to be a blessing to the brothers who the only reason they didn't kill him was to make a little money. See, why are you blessed? You're blessed to be kind to people who aren't kind to you. You are been given a special anointing, a special love from God that you can be nice to people who are not nice to you. You know what they call that? It's a great word. It's called mercy. Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. And God says goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. There's not a person in this room who hasn't had mercy from God. How many know we haven't? How many would raise their hand and say, thank you, Jesus, that I haven't gotten what I deserved? My hand will be the first one to go up. You know what? If I told you all the screwball things that I've done in my life, you know what? We'd be here too long. I'm telling you, we would be here too long. And in all those times of me doing the wrong thing, God loved me in the midst of me doing the wrong thing. God said, no, 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 no. I see not who you are. I see who I've called you to be. You know what that's called? That's called mercy. And why have I been given mercy? Here's why I've been given mercy. To then show mercy to other people. Jesus said it like this. Do you believe Jesus? Because here's what Jesus told me to do, and here's what Jesus told you to do. Here's what he said. Freely you have received. How many received mercy? Here's what he says. How many received mercy? Raise your hand if you have received mercy. Keep your hand up. I want to speak to those of you who received mercy. Here's what he says. Freely you have received, freely give. That's your responsibility. Your responsibility is not give what you've been given, or not to give what you think they deserve, but give what they don't deserve. Say, Pastor, you don't know my spouse. You don't know my spouse. I married a crazy lady. Yeah, you don't have to say it. I know some of you thinking that. You married a crazy man. Can I tell you what? The crazier that they are, the crazier they are, the more opportunity you have. The Bible says that way it's measured out. The way you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. Amen. Have you ever deserved something and somebody didn't give you what you did deserve? They didn't give it to you. How do you feel towards that person? You know, one of the reasons why I love my wife so crazy, I'm crazy in love with my wife. Can I tell you one of the reasons I'm crazy in love with my wife? Because when she could condemn me, she loved me. When she could become embittered for things that I have done, she didn't give me what I deserve. I mean, the Bible says, to whom much is forgiven, to the person who's been forgiven much, that person loves much. I don't know where the application is, but I do know in my study and spending time with the Spirit, he says specifically, do not give this message that you do not say this about husband and wife. Because some of you have been fooled, and you think that you married the wrong spouse. You think, oh, if I just would have married somebody else, it would have been better. You think they are the problem. Can I tell you who the problem is? You're the problem. I'm not saying they're not the problem. I'm saying you're broken too. Amen? How many know you didn't marry a perfect spouse? How many would recognize that's true? But how many would recognize they didn't marry a perfect spouse? Oh, I didn't get a bunch of amen on that one. How many married? They didn't marry a perfect spouse either. We have a great opportunity, listen, to redeem each other in our marriages. We have a great opportunity to redeem each other in our sons and our grandsons and our daughters and our granddaughters. How many know my kids aren't perfect? How many know I haven't been a perfect parent either? So they can redeem me and I can redeem them. How many know we have a great opportunity today to redeem people who don't even know Jesus? And how many know this? How are they going to come to God? How does the Bible say anybody comes to God? It's the love of God that leads people to repentance. It's when you show love to people who are unloving that they scratch their head and say, oh my goodness, they're not doing that in their power. There must be a God in heaven. What's the point? How many are blessed? You're blessed to show forgiveness to others. So walk around this week. You in La Puente, you walk around and you are blessed. You're in Pico Rivera, oh, you're blessed. You're in Whittier, amen, you're blessed. You're Rolling Heights, you're blessed, amen. You're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. You are a blessing. And what are you blessed for? You're blessed because God just absolutely is crazy about you. But he's also crazy about these other people who don't know him. So you show love to unloving people. You can be compassionate to people who are not compassionate to you. You show them the love of God, and you watch what happens. Sweetie?
One of the things that Joseph did, and you see it in the scripture, is that he always made everything about God. When circumstances weren't going right, and a lot happened to Joseph that was not right. instead of being revengeful, which he could have been, in his motive instead of revenge ended up being love. How can you do that with everything that he went through? Here's how he did it. You can see it in Genesis 39:9. First of all, he had a gratitude about, and he was mindful of what he did have, not what he didn't have. And you'll see it right there in the text. Then the other thing he did is he honored, he had an honor for his master, and he had an honor for God. And because God was always his focus, how can I do this against God? Because God was always his focus, it kept him in a right place. That no matter what the circumstances were around him, the blessing was with him. Whatever circumstance he got into, he ended up blessed in that circumstance. Why? Because God, you know what, loved him so much. Well, God does love each one of us that much, but that's not the reason why. The reason why he was able to be blessed no matter what was going on with circumstances around him is not because God loved him, but because he loved God. And no matter what the circumstances were, he didn't let those circumstances unroot him from that truth. He understood God loved him, even in the circumstance. And then he loved God. And he stayed there no matter what was happening. That it was about God. The minute we get into a circumstance and we get our eyes off of God, what's happening is we're getting our eyes on ourselves. We begin to look at what they did and what I did and what's happening to me, and we end up in this place of you will automatically start thinking and walking and acting selfishly, which is the opposite of what God has called us to do. We're not supposed to have the focus as ourselves. We're supposed to love God and love others. Isn't that what he said? One and two. Love God and love others. Well, as soon as we start to look at circumstances and we get our eyes off of God, that's what happens. Take your eyes off of God and you are just steps away from a pity party. You are just steps away from walking in selfishness. You are just steps away from blowing it big time. And then you end up not being blessed. Why? How did I end up not blessed? Here's how you ended up not blessed. Because as soon as circumstances didn't go right, you got your eyes off of God, and we start having these pity parties. And we start making people our enemy. And people, we end up against people instead of with people like God wants us to be. And when we do that, you know what? We're just in a heap of trouble. And just more, now, instead of staying with God, see, how do we stay there? We keep our eyes on God. What God said, what God wants, lordship, what God expects from me, I'm gonna stay with you, God, no matter what. I know all this and this has happened, but God, you said this. They did that to me, yeah, but God, you said. Well, this isn't going right, yeah, but God, you said. If we stay there, we're going to stay in blessing. Just like Joseph did. You can see it. Prison, he's blessed. You know what? Slavery, he's blessed. No matter what, he was blessed. Why? Because he never left the blesser. Whose choice is that? That's his choice. Whose choice is that? That's your choice. So I'm going to give you an example. And some of you know this, but many of you don't. So first couple years when we were here, we are renovating the building. The facility was very run down. And I had gotten from Home Depot cases and cases and cases of tile donated, porcelain tile. Why'd you get that? Well, because when you walked in the foyer on the north side, between the foyer and the two bathrooms, it was like five different colors of flooring. It was just a mess. It's all hodgepodge. And I didn't want it to be hodgepodge. I want God's house to be nice. And so I had gotten a bunch of tile donated, and it was all sitting in a back room. And it sat there for months. I don't know how to put tile down. I don't know how it's going to get down. But I know God's got a plan. And I'm ready for it now because he gave us the tile. So there's a gentleman that we know who actually what he did, he used to have a tile business. And he called me up. He was a friend of ours. And he said, hey, I want you to come on over here and do that painting that you do in our living room. And I would texturize walls and do this faux painting, like faux wallpaper thing. I said, ooh, I'd love to do that for you, but I got my hands full right now at the church. I got all this stuff going on. I'll be happy to do that for you, but I got to get this stuff done at the church first. And he said, no, my wife wants it. She wants it right now. You know, I need you to come. I need you to come. I said, I can't. I really can't. I got a mess and a half going on at the church with all this stuff that I'm doing. And so as he keeps on and keeps on, I said, I'll tell you what. I got an idea. It'd be like a win-win situation. How about this? How about if I go to your house and do what you want me to do, and you come to God's house and do what we need to get done there? And then that way, progression is still happening. Do you know what I'm saying? At the church, it won't be my hands, it'll be your hands, but then my hands can be over there doing what you need done. How about that? And he says, oh, that's a good plan. Okay. I said, okay. So I paint his place. He comes and looks at this, and he says, I need you to just, okay, rip up all the floor. You know what I mean? I said, we got vacation Bible school in like a week. How long does, if we rip up all this floor, how long does it take to put the new floor down? And he said, well, that's up to you. If you rip it up tonight or how long it takes you to rip it up, it'll just take a few days. I said, okay. Okay, so it was a Wednesday night after church. And bunch of that, we made an announcement, as you guys have all lived through these announcements, right? We get up on the roof and we do go in the attic. We got all kinds of things we got to do here at the Lord's house. I say, you know what? If you can stay tonight and help us rip up the floor, stay tonight and help us rip up the floor. So a bunch of people stayed and we chopped up all that floor and cleaned it all up. We left here around midnight or so, and I called him up and said, okay, it's all done. And he didn't come. I called him again and said, hey, it's all done. And he showed up, and he put his tile saw down here, and he laid like four pieces of tile. And then he disappeared. I'm like, hey, we got vacation Bible school. I need you to come get this floor in. Hey, nobody's there. I was like, oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? I said, well, let's go across the street and ask them, how do we tile a floor? Let's learn. So we went across the street. Pastor Drew was still working at Albertson's at this time. So me and this guy, Larry, we learned how to tile the floor from little DIY over there at Home Depot. And we're all gung-ho. We say, okay, let's do this thing. So we start laying a tile floor. And we do both of those bathrooms, the hallway and the foyer. We're out there working. Now, I was doing great. Like, my friend just totally, like, jaked me. That was not cool, right? Kind of like Joseph, not cool, right? His brothers jaked him. So my friend had totally jaked me, and I'd gone over there and held up my end of the bargain. He wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. And now I'm in this pressure cooker because it's vacation Bible school coming up, and it's like, ah, that's not cool. So there's that. Then, but what did I do? I'll tell you what I did. I said, well, at least he left the saw here. Pastor George, it costs like, I don't know, $100 a week or $120 a week or something to rent those tile saws. They're expensive. I said, well, at least we don't have to pay for a saw. We got the saw. That's cool. So I'm meditating on, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, well, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? We're going to get this thing done. And we just get busy. I never had laid tile before. I don't think women should lay tile, if you want to know the truth. It's too brutal. Men should be doing this. There's a reason why they're built differently than we are. And so I was lifting big old 50-pound sacks of tile and mortar and all this junk. I'm lifting all this stuff, doing all this work, me and my buddy. And so We're doing it, and we're making it happen, and we got the floor, you know what, all laid in there. It's vacation Bible school, you know, we didn't hit the goal, it was kind of a mess. Some of the people were very angry at me because I had tore the place up. One lady had just marched through, I was down on my hands and knees, she marched through that foyer, she'd come this way, and then she'd come that way. I don't know what she was doing, she didn't have nowhere, she's just mad, you know, she'd come this way, she wants to make her presence known with me, as I'm down on my hands and knees, you know what, trying to put this tile down there, and she said, I'm just not going to say nothing. I said, well, I think that's a good thing, you know what I mean? And so we got some tension going on in the house, it was not good. But what am I doing? I got a good attitude. I'm just making it happen. I'm doing the best I can. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the saw. I'm grateful for the tile. I'm grateful. Well, that changed. You know what? I had a moment about 4 or 5 days into doing the floor, and I had never done the floor before, so I was doing a lot of things wrong. I didn't know that they sold knee pads. Like, if you're going to be on your knees that much time, you need to have some knee pads on. I didn't know that. You know what? So my knees, my hips, everything was just jacked up. I was in pain. I don't think I've ever had pain like that. So I was a mess. Lifting all that stuff, getting on my knees that much, it was not a good thing. And then I didn't know that they sold a drill that you can like what do they call that stuff? Thin set? You can put the thin set inside a bucket and then put the water in there and take this drill. And it just mix it all up for you. Just like at home with the cakes. But it's a big one. But I didn't know that. So guess what I'm doing? I'm lifting the sack, dumping it in there, putting the water in there. And then I was stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring forever. And my arms couldn't take that. I'm not a man. So I started getting clever. And I would stir it with my hand and get in there. That was better. So I just stir it all up like that. Got the floor laid. Now we're trying to put the grout in it. And I'm down on my hands and knees. And I'm trying to push the grout in with my hands. I didn't know that they sold grout gloves. Why do they sell grout gloves? Why do they have that drill? So that people don't do it all with their hand and make their hands bleed like crazy. Because this is sand. It's like glass. You know, just, ooh. I was a mess. And so I'm sitting there on my hands and knees, a mess, pushing grout into the things with my bare hands. My hands are bleeding, you know what I mean? I'm trying to, you know what, keep it together. And I look out, and it was right there at those double doors down on the other side where we used to have church. And I look out that long sidewalk, and there's two men standing right there by the information counter. And they were sipping lemonade, ice cold lemonade, and some chocolate chip cookies that we had from Vacation Bible School. And they had a Hot Rod magazine. And they were, you know, talking about the Hot Rod magazine and looking at these motorcycles and stuff. And when I looked out there and I saw them, that's when I lost it. Because I was physically beat down. How many of you know Satan's a sucker? When you're at your worst is when he comes in. You know what, with his best. And I looked out there, and he's like, you see that? I said, oh, that's it. I took it. I said, you know what? And I started talking to the Lord. I said, you know what, Lord? It's a good thing I can't get off this floor. Because if I could get off the floor, I would walk right out there, and I would slap that lemonade right out of their hand. I said, what do they think? Is this my house, Lord, or is this your house? I started getting all, And then as I'm right in the middle of telling them all about it, he said, shut up. Don't tell me God don't say shut up, because he does, because he told me. And he said, shut up. And it stunned me. I was quiet for a moment. And he said, do you want your carpet, Tamara? Now, that was a really important question. And I believe he told me shut up. You ever see the movies when women are like hysterical and then they like slap them to help them? Okay, that was my slap to help me. He's like, shut up. It's loud like that. Just like, shoo. And I was like, oh. I was shocked. Did he just tell me to shut up? And they said, Tamara, do you want your carpet? I said, Lord, You know I want that carpet. Let me tell you about the carpet. Did I say we were renovating the place? We were renovating the place. We didn't have no money, everything. We were just trusting God for it all, right? So I had ripped up carpeting all over the rooms, puppet room, the hallway, just ripped it up. It smelled. It was nasty. It needed to be thrown out anyway, so I threw it out. Why did you do that? Because the Lord told me he was going to get me some carpet. I'm praying. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God, Pastor George. He's going to show up here with this carpet. I heard the Lord. He told me he's going to get me some carpet. Woo! It's going to be a good day when this carpet shows up. It's going to be awesome. And now here I am on my hands and knees having this whole moment. And he says to me, do you want your carpet? That was real personal between me and God. I said, you know I want my carpet, Lord. And he said, I said, because if I don't get the carpet, remember the lady puffing through the thing? I said, if I don't get the carpet, they're going to hang me from that tree out there. Because I threw all the carpet in the trash. You know I need that carpet. He said, then Tamara, you better watch your heart. Because if you don't watch your heart, you will tie my hands and I can't get you your carpet. If I wouldn't have gotten the carpet, if the carpet wouldn't have come in, whose fault would that be? God's. Because that's the way it plays out a lot of times in the body of Christ. God let me down. God wasn't there for me. God failed me. Whoopie-doopie. Pity party. Selfish, selfish. Me, 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 me. Woe is me. But in real time, I tell you, it would have been my fault, big time. That was one of the best days of my life because God taught me one of the greatest lessons that every one of us needs to learn, that we all need to know, that we all don't move away, you know what, from God and keeping our eyes on him when it's all breaking loose around us. When people are betraying us and all things are happening, right? Everything's going wrong, God. The minute we move off of God, you know what? We're going to put ourselves against people. And that's what had happened to me that day. And I said, da-da-da, da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Was I right? Yes! I was all right in the natural. That was wrong. They should have been up in there helping and, you know, chivalry, loving God yourself, being part of the body, whatever you want to call it. There was 100 things I could have built that on. But I could never build it on what the Lord has said to me. Problem. So, you know what? I, just as quick as I got off point, I got on point. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry. What those men do or don't do, it's between you and them. I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to, you know what, Father? Thank you for this tile. The Lord told me meditate on what's good, right? So I said, Lord, thank you for this tile. Thank you that you've provided this for us. How is it going to be beautiful when it gets done? And then I said, and Lord, and thank you for this saw. Man, we would be jacked up if we had to be buying the saw, renting it every day or anything. Thank God that guy left it here. You know what? Even in that situation, I could find the good. Thank God he left it here. Thank you for everything that you have provided for us. Thank you for what you're doing. You know what? Thank you that you will get me my carpet. You are faithful to me. You love me. Just turned it all back around. Got right back on point. Repented. That's what we call that in the body of Christ. I repented. You know what? I got my heart right. Instead of against those men and angry at the lady, who she thinks she is puffing through here? You know, once you get going, you get going. You understand? I said, and then she going to come through here when I'm in here working so hard and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, right? I was on a roll. I said, oh, no, I'm not doing this. Forgive me, Lord. You know what? Let me tell you, it's a pleasure to serve you. And whether they do or don't, I'm going to do it all day long with joy because you are worthy of everything that I do for you. See, I just turned it right back the way it belonged. The next day, the Lord directed me to go somewhere and to talk to someone. I did that. And that day ended up being the beginning of a process that it took. And we ended up with all the carpet brand new and donated. And not only all the carpet brand new and donated, but then they installed it all for free. And they built my puppet. They gave me all the materials to build the puppet house. And God had provided 15 pallets of brick earlier on, too. I was just getting stuff. I didn't know how to put none of this stuff up, but I knew it would look pretty if I could find someone to help me. And so I had all this brick that the Lord had donated to us, too. And they put all these brick pillars and flower boxes. They just made it happen. Wow. Now, if we didn't get the carpet, not only did I get the carpet, but look at how I got so much more than I could think or ask. And how did I get that blessing? Because, see, God had it there the whole time. I got it by keeping my heart right and my eyes on Him. Because the minute I got my eyes on the circumstances, oh, my body hurts so bad. Oh, my gosh, those men know how to lay tile. What are they doing? How they let a woman do this? Why is this lady all mad at me when I'm the one in here working so hard? Instead of getting my eyes on all that jazz, I got them right back on God. And as soon as I got them on God, it's really trippy, you guys. The minute I got them on God, I got happy again. In spite of my body, in spite of all these people and what they were or weren't doing. Didn't matter. Because it's all about me and Him anyway. And only we can make it about anything else. That's a beautiful thing. If you stick with God and keep your eyes on God, nobody and nothing can remove the blessing from you. Because He is a blessing. And He shows up. And you'll see it. Is your heart right? That's what we need to do. Do we keep our heart right? Here's the visual. Here's what He showed me. I could see it. Tamara, keep your heart right. Or you will tie my hands and I can't get you your carpet. That's what He told me. And I got my heart right and I got my carpet. Now, what about y'all? You know what I mean? What you gonna do? You know, in your circumstances, get your heart right. Don't put yourself at odds with people. People are not your enemy. People are not your provider. God is your provider. Amen? And so we got it all done and then some. It is a blessing. Amen? Amen. Do you want to? Okay, I wanna just, listen, I say to you truly, that was the best day of my life. It was like the worst best day. You know how you have those? It's like the worst day and then the best day. Because, why? Because God stepped in and He just turned the whole thing around when I allowed Him to be my Lord. We said in the morning service is we had this wow, that's like a memorial piece. Remember, and I want to say this to you because we're going to hang on to this as a church. If you watch you can watch the first service, and you'll see more about that piece that we talked about in the first service. But God, remember when God would have them put these ginormous stones as a memorial to what He had done, that they would not forget. And I said, may that be a memorial. That stone too, actually. That stone back there is a memorial to each one of us, that as many have stepped forward to honor Pastor Drew in that, you know, making God's house nicer. If you wanna love Pastor Drew, love the house of God. Really, it's true. Because He loves God. It just matters to Him. And so, but in loving Pastor Drew, you know who else you're loving? You're loving God. Because God, this is His home. This is His house. We represent Him here. We're His body. You know what? He has placed a shepherd here for you. And so I said, may we let that stone be a memorial to us of the importance of honor and unity. We allow circumstances and people to get us out of unity and out of honoring one another like the Word of God tells us to. We're to honor one another. And we get out of that and we end up robbing ourselves of the blessing. This is in Psalm 133, verse 2. Pastor Muncy came and spoke with us. And when he spoke with us, he talked about this verse for this church. Very specifically that God pointed that out, the importance that when, here, it says there in Psalms that when that harmony and that unity is there, it is there that God commands the blessing. And so when we get out of that, even as a body, who are we ripping off? We're ripping ourselves off of the blessings. And so when we say Jesus is our Lord, that means that we don't take our eyes off of him. When we're painting people's houses and they say they're going to do something and then they don't hold up their end of the bargain, God says, love them anyway, pray for them, right? So you got to not take your eyes off of God, and you got to keep your eyes on God in spite of all the circumstances going on. And those circumstances, those are my little details and my little stories. You got them too. You got lots of them. That chick at work, you know, that's always doing this or that, right? Your neighbor across the street who, oh, you are not even going to believe what they did with their dog. You know they did this to my dog? Well, we all got the stories. But do we keep our eyes on God in the stories and make sure we keep our hearts right, keeping him our Lord in spite of all those circumstances? That's what we need to do. And may that remind every one of us. I want you, every time you walk in the sanctuary, when you see that, you check yourself. Is my heart right? Am I ticked off at the nursery worker because I felt like, well, she didn't, you know, give my child the apple juice when I asked her to give some apple juice to them? You know what? Am I upset with my husband or my wife? Am I ticked off at my children? Or is Jesus my Lord? And I got my heart right, so that God can command the blessing. Amen? In the unity, there's an anointing, that there's a blessing. And I hope I hope none of you can get away from this. I hope you see it in your dreams. I hope you see it in your sleep. I hope you, every time you walk in here and you see that, you think about this and you check yourself and you make sure that you're right so that you can walk in the fullness of blessing like we see Joseph. That God's always there in spite of whatever happens around you. God is right in the midst of it with you. Amen. All right, as I say all that, I just want to God knows your business. You know what? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this message. I thank you, Lord, that you are trying to align our hearts with yours, that you are always trying to bless us if we will cooperate with you. Father, we hear the words that you're saying. And I pray that every voice that is hearing me, if you receive this message, if you say, yep, there's somewhere I can apply this, I want you to just put your hand up. Thank you, Lord. You see the hands? I thank you, Father, that just as I repented and just turned with my attitude and my heart and all things changed on that day over there with the tile, I thank you, Father, that the same thing is happening right here, right now, in hearts of your people. That you will be able to just minister to us and take us to where it is that you're trying to take us, even when we don't understand what's happening in the midst of all the circumstances. We thank you for it. We thank you that you are a good God. Thank you, Father. And we just repent and turn the other way, and I thank you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that as far as the east is from the west, any wrong behavior that we've had, that it's under the blood as we repent. And that you don't even remember it. And we're not going to remember it either. And let the enemy just beat us with it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.